Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Mary Neal's Human Rights Demand. Human Rights Demand. You know, Frederick Douglass said that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. So, Human Rights Demand is a channel on Blog Talk Radio where we make a demand for the human rights of whomever has been violated in this system. And we have with us today individuals to discuss someone who I feel his human rights have been violated. I'm speaking about Terry Young. Terry Young. She is a veteran of the United States of America. Not one time did he volunteer for the Army, but three times. This young man at the time volunteered to serve this country three times. He had been a part of a gang in Chicago before he went into the Army. And I found out that the gang culture is that once you enter a gang, you're in it for life. So you're considered a member even after you no longer are active participant of the gang. You're still considered a member. Terry Young was arrested because he was guilty by association. Some people that he knew, some friends of his, were caught with a kilogram of cocaine, and they arrested Terry Young. Do you know how much drugs Terry Young had on him at the time of arrest? None. He also was arrested for money laundering. Do you know how much money Terry Young had on him? None. He also may have been arrested on a weapons charge. Do you know what weapon they found on Terry Young? None. I had heard about people being arrested for crimes because their friends did it before. But, there was a time when you had to be at least with a person who did something wrong before you got arrested when they did. But no. They have something called guilty by association. So because three friends of his, or whatever number it was, were found to have a kilogram of cocaine, they arrested Terry Young, even though he hadn't been active in a gang in a long time. He had been in the Army. He came out of the Army during his third tour of duty because his mother and father were dealing with problems with his brother. His brother was mentally ill. As you know, I'm director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. Ordinarily, the mentally ill go to jail, they live homeless, they are sometimes shot down by police officers even though they're unarmed, they're picked on by the community. I don't know what was happening with Terry Young's brothers, but I believe that the guest today will be able to tell you something about it. But Terry Young's mother and father were both very sick. I think they were old, and they were not able to deal with this mentally ill brother of his, and his other brother had a drug problem. So he had two brothers, both of them having trouble. The parents were getting older, and Terry Young got out of the Army on a hardship release, I believe, and then he would be home to help with these brothers of his. And in the meantime, some of his friends were arrested for drugs. Now, he's been gone all these years. And they arrest Terry Young. He's been in prison for 17 years. The judge gave him two life sentences plus 20 years. For nonviolent crime, even if he had been found with drugs and weapons. But he wasn't. So even if he had drugs and weapons, it would have been a non-violent crime because they're not accused of any violent crime. But he's accused of knowing people who had a kilogram of cocaine. Now, you help me say, how ridiculous you feel this is. This man has been in jail 17 years, a veteran, because he knew some people who had cocaine. That's essentially the story. And so, you know, I just find it outrageous, and we'll get some details from his friends about this now. Hi, everyone. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm still rocking and reeling from the idea of Terry Young being in jail even 17 years because he knew some people who had cocaine. Essentially, tell me which statement I made in the opening that isn't the case as you know it. Did I say anything that is not the case as you know it?
Excuse me. No, everything you said was correct. And thank you for bringing that to light.
Well, I know that's the information that I felt like I had gotten from you, but it just sounds so outrageous that I just had to check with you to see, is this really what you're telling me? This man, a veteran, had been in a gang, went into the Army, served two terms, signed up for his third term, had to come out to help his family, and then while he was out, they arrested him because he knew some people who went to jail for drugs. I mean, that is just absolutely outrageous. But I know he had the qualifier. Let me ask you, though, to make sure. Is Terry Young black?
Yes, he is.
Okay, well, that's the qualifier. So go ahead and talk to me. Is this Veronica?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Mary.
Okay, Veronica. I am so glad you were able to join us today. Go ahead and tell us about this case.
Well, like you said, to give you a little bit of history on it, Terry was indicted on three counts. Count one was conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute cocaine, cocaine base, and heroin. Count two was possessing cocaine with the intent to distribute it. And on both those counts, he was giving life on each count. And the count 14 was money laundering. And he was given 20 years on that. So he was given two life terms plus 20 years on the money laundering count. And what they did was enhance his charges to say that he had weapons, which he did not. He didn't have any drugs. He didn't have any money. But they indicted him on all counts, gave him two life sentences plus 20 years. Terry appealed it. And the appellate court ruled in his favor. They agreed with him and sent it back to the district court, remanded it for a resentencing. So they sent it back to the same district court, to the same biased judge, who in turn reduced one of the counts to 20 years but kept the other life charge. And his basis for keeping that other life charge was he stated that he didn't understand what the appellate court wanted him to do. So he kept the life charge on the other count, plus the 20 years on the count three, count 14. So
let me ask you, Veronica, were the phones out of order that day in Chicago? Were the faxes out of order? Was email not working? How could this judge leave a life sentence when the appellate court had told him to reduce it to no more than 20 years? How could he leave that life sentence talking about he didn't understand the appellate court, and the appellate court is supposedly over the lower court, and they'd given him instructions? If he didn't understand it, it seems that it would be his duty to get clear instructions from someone who is over him. Don't you agree?
I agree. And that's why this is ridiculous, because Terry shouldn't have served that amount of time, and he's been in there over 17 years, almost 18 years, when the courts instructed him to remand and resentence him on those all three counts, and it shouldn't have been no more than a maximum of 20 years on all three counts.
And so let me ask you, who is this judge who can't understand appellate court? Who is this judge who went through elementary school, high school, college, and then law school, and I imagine had been a judge for some time. Who is this judge who is losing his ability to read with comprehension?
The judge was Judge Lindbergh, but he was a powerful judge in Chicago at the time. So a lot of attorneys were afraid to go up against him because of his record. And it's ridiculous because if the appellate court ruled in Terry's favor and he knew that the appellate court ruled in his favor and he was supposed to adhere to their orders, he should have done that. But he, again, claimed that he didn't understand what was asked of him to do and
now
kept
that
life charge.
Now, he said that on record. He said that in the court that I don't understand what appellate court wants me to do with the first charge. Is that right?
Well, I can't verbatim give you exact detail, but it was stated that he didn't understand what was instructed of him to do.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And did he state this, like, in a little meeting, or did he say it in the court?
No, it would have been in court. It would have been in court.
Wow. Wow. So, well, we so much appreciate you and your friends coming on to tell us about Terry Young. And right now, before I forget it, I want to let everyone know that you can sign a petition for Terry Young. It's a petition to President Obama for commutation for Terry Young. He was given two life sentences, even though his indictment did not state or include any drug types or any drug quantities. And that was for the simple reason that he didn't have any drugs. His friends had drugs. And so this man has done 17 years because he knew people who had drugs and were caught with drugs. Let me ask you, are those people still in jail?
No, my understanding is that most of them are released. There were, with his co-defendant, Terry was one of three that received life sentences, but everyone else was out.
Okay. So
Terry had no prior record.
No prior record. A U.S. veteran with no prior record is in jail for two life sentences. Well, now he's got one life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew some people who dealt in cocaine. He knew
Correct.
Some people who did it. And that's on change.org. And look for the petition, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, Young, Y-O-U-N-G, and he's asking for the president, President Obama, commutation for Terry Young, at change.org. All right, well, let's move on and let one of Terry's other friends have a word. Go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Tony Norris. I just called in. And how
well,
are
hey
you,
there,
Ms. Norris,
Neal? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Ms. Jones, Veronica?
Good. How are you, Tony?
I'm great. I just called. I was listening to the conversation, and you know, like you all said, it's a travesty for Terry to still be locked up over something that was, I mean, it was really accusations. If you, I mean, to say the least, his whole case was accusations. In my mind, Ms. Neal, I think that it was a personal vendetta out to get Terry for some apparent reason. But, see, Terry was a community activist. He was doing things for people, you know, not only in the neighborhood, but for people everywhere, you know. And you already know how that goes. Excuse me. When we try to help each other and they see that, you know, it's like the same way they did, you know, I would say the Black Panthers and, you know, King and the rest of them. And I must say that. You know, it's really sad how when we try to help each other, you know, it's a problem. But it's okay for us to kill each other. It's okay for us to feed each other drugs and stuff like that. Because in their mind, they ain't have to do nothing. We doing it to ourselves. It's like, okay, they self-genociding themselves, so we don't have to do anything. But it's like a threat. It's a threat to them when we try to help each other. And that's a sad situation. But my thing is...
Well, now I'm getting the picture. So Terry Young, and y'all hadn't told me this before, Terry Young had become something of a community activist.
Yes.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yes.
So what was he doing as a community activist? Was he working with prisoners? Was he doing anything that would cut down on the mass incarceration? What was he doing as a prisoner activist?
He was working with the youth in the community to help gain employment, to keep them off the streets, to stay out of trouble. He was working with some of the projects and communities to bring awareness to the social issues that were going on and to encourage those people to continue their education, because Terry was big on education. And he was working with different projects in the community to enhance the community. And
also, he was encouraging the young people to keep their noses clean. He was telling them that they could have a future aside from what they knew in their community. He was he had been outside of the community in the Army, and he was encouraging the youth to live a different life than what they saw people living around them. And he was big on education. Now, when you said that, that reminded me of what you and your friends told me about what Terry's been doing regarding his own education while he's been in prison. Give me a little snap of that.
He just graduated in the fall from Governor State University with a degree in liberal arts. So Terry's been big on education even while he's incarcerated due to his circumstances. He's always had a positive attitude. He's encouraged others while in prison. He has been a success story. The chaplain that works with the Department of Justice even wrote a letter, a reference letter on his behalf, stating what a good person he was, how he's encouraged others. He has a leadership qualities, and that he sees him as a success story.
Wow.
So that speaks in itself.
Go ahead, Veronica. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That speaks in itself about his character. He's taken over 250 courses since being incarcerated to help, you know, and educate himself and to learn different things. That's always been Terry's background, is to learn as much as he can, and he helps to encourage others.
And actually, at the time of Terry's arrest, he was actually in college, Ms. Neal. He was going to Malcolm X College to get another degree at the time that he was arrested. So, I mean, Ray Charles can see through this matter. If you are out here in the streets and you're doing all this negativity, you got to either choose one or the other. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. How can you be in school, spending all your time, your days and your hours in school, but you also be accused of being out there in the street selling drugs? I mean, come on now. I mean, what is we, the Matrix now? I mean, we can split ourselves in half and say, okay, you go do this while I do this? Really? I mean, it's just a sad situation, you know, how to judge. And matter of fact, the judge and the officer, the supposedly the witness, the police officer that testified, you know, I think it's a conflict of interest anyway, because the judge's daughter and this police officer were dating each other, okay? And then she done wrote a book about everything that done happened with Terry Young. Now, how did she know about what was going on with that case? Who told her? Who gave her the information? See, now that the judge has retired, it's like, you know, there's no way that he can be, you know, held accountable for his actions. So it was really like they was out to get Terry Young anyway. And to answer your other question, it was 16 of them. There's only 4 now. And each one of them is facing a life sentence out of 16 people. That was stated in the case, if you read, they were doing this, doing that, had this, had that. But never once did they say Terry Young had anything. They labeled him as being a gang chief or whatever titles that they decide they want to give you. you know, to hold you down. You know, how could he be that and he's in school and doing what he's supposed to do? Not saying that guys that be affiliated with, you know, organizations is not, you know what I'm saying, quote unquote, a gang chief or whatever, but at the end of the day, that doesn't fit his character. That doesn't fit Terry. And they know that. They knew that. So it was basically, if you read between the lines and look at the facts, okay, if we can't get him on this, we going to get him on this. And like you were saying, what the judge either was stupid, dumb, or retarded, or maybe I combine all three to say he didn't understand. Charges 1 and 2 was basically the same thing. It was just heroin and cocaine, okay? And they was asked to vacate charges 1 and 2 and give them the 20 years for the money laundering. But the money laundering that they got them on, the money came from the government, if I'm not mistaken. The money came from the government to have Terry. It was allocated for Terry for a program. It didn't have anything to do with no drugs. So it wasn't drug money. It was money that if somebody writes you a grant or something like that, you got a program going, and they give you the money to fund your program. That's where the money laundering come in at. They never got any drugs. They never got any money. They never got – I don't even understand. How could they convict you for some drugs and stuff like that without any amounts? How would I know what you would have did in 5 years? His case went like, okay, so the guy saying that he had this, so he would have been done sold a certain amount had he, you know. I'm like, really? Come on now. So you going to tell me how much food I would have been and ate in a year then? I'm just saying.
Well,
it just doesn't make sense.
Outrageous.
It's a sad situation.
It is.
It's really
is very sad.
Terry lost his whole
and
family.
It sounds, but you know what? When we put it in the context of him being a community activist, I feel like we've gotten to the bottom of it now. I mean, I was confused when you first told me about it because you did not tell me that he was a community activist, that he was working with the youth to help them lift themselves up and look forward to a bright future. I didn't know that at first, but now that you told me he was a community activist, I don't have any more questions. Because we know that anyone who is seeking to uplift black people is under attack. So, I mean, that just answered all my questions. I really don't have any other questions for y'all. So I just will leave it to y'all to just tell the public now what you feel like they need to know about the Terry Young case. And is this the USA versus Terry Young or is it Illinois versus Terry Young?
It's USA. He's in a federal prison at this point. And what we just want everyone to know is that we would encourage everyone to sign the petition and share it with others so that they can sign it and continue to speak out about this case because, as you know, there's so many black men and women that are lost in the system. That are lost in the system under these mandatory minimum penalties. And most of these individuals are nonviolent offenders. So this could be your brother, your sister, your father, anyone, a close friend. And we're just asking that we get signatures, that people support us and help us fight for his freedom. Because we've been
Absolutely.
Fighting for over 17 years.
Absolutely. Give me the last 4 digits of your number, Veronica.
It's 3343.
Okay, 3343. All right. Because we're getting a little background noise. I had opened everybody's lines up so that y'all could just speak as a panel. I'm going to go down the line and let each of you say something about the case. If you'd like to call in and ask this panel of friends of Terry Young, supporters of Terry Young, if you would call and ask them questions or make comments about nonviolent offenders getting life sentences. Nonviolent offenders getting life sentences. It seems like a prison profiteering dream to put young black men in prison a college graduate, keep them, if someone they have a degree, keep them in prison for life. It just seems to me like a prison profiteering dream. And, of course, we know that Eric Holder has been speaking out against the mandatory minimum sentences. We know that even our president has spoken out against mass incarceration. All of this is new, that they have started being active against mass incarceration and mandatory federal minimums. So this is a great time for y'all to come forward for Terry Young. It's a wonderful time. And I'm going to move right along now to, it's 8441. Are you the man who already spoke?
Yes, yes I am.
Okay.
It's Tony.
All right. Let me go on and let's see. 0822, did you want to speak on the air?
Yes, I just have a couple things I wanted to say right quick. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. One thing in particular, as far as Terry Young's case, he wasn't even sentenced to the mandatory minimums or maximums. He was sentenced over the mandatory maximum. Had he been sentenced at the mandatory maximum, he would have only gotten up to the maximum of 20 years. He was at a level 44, which they put his levels up and enhanced them, even though level 44 don't even exist or didn't exist at the time, even in the guidelines. And the other thing, when you talk about his character and everything, the single resident occupancy, when the SRO buildings and stuff like that, when guys were getting out of prison and needed a place to stay, Terry was one of the founders of that program, which built housing for single males or single females that were coming out of prison so that they will have a place to stay and not be homeless or, you know, on the street or doing anything, whereas they had to go back to selling drugs or doing things they didn't have no business doing. So he was one of the founders of that, and that was, you know, some of the money that Tony spoke of that he was responsible for. And he also was a police officer at the time of his arrest as well. So he did a whole lot of things. I remember back in the day he was, if he saw kids without gym shoes, he went and bought like 20, 30, 40 pair of gym shoes so the kids could have gym shoes to go back to school with, book bags, jackets. And every summer he had huge picnics where everybody in the whole community came and had hot dogs, barbecue, had birthday parties at the park. He did a lot of things that he knew that our neighborhood couldn't afford, but if we got together and pitched in as a community, we were able to do these things for our children so they could see something different. He volunteered all the time at the Boys and Girls Club. If he saw that a parent, a mother, couldn't take care of her child, he made sure to get her some help. He went and got her help, got her back in school. And you'll hear a lot of stories in the future as we talk more with you about those people coming on the line, and they'll tell you about the reason why they are in positions they are right, owning their own business, having their own music companies like Twister and everything. He was in on Twister and all them getting their music careers off the ground. So he helped a whole lot of people, and now it's just time to pay it forward and give it back to him and fight this justice for him, because he needs all of our support. He did a lot of things for a whole lot of people, and he just got railroaded in the end. But he was a good person, and we know that now we have to continue to just fight for justice on today.
Absolutely. I tell you, when you were talking about him having picnics for the community, I thought about the Black Panther Party and the free breakfast program. And I said, well, this man was really making racists angry, because he was, helping the people to have food to eat, putting shoes on little black kids' feet, and all of that. So they arrested him with no drugs, no weapons, no money. They arrested him, and by them putting money laundering beside those other charges, they makes it sound like it was all drug-related. And so they just really gave him the railroad. like the Black Panther Party members. And when you say that he was such a leader, I think about the fact that COINTELPRO, which was an FBI, covert FBI program, they said that their agenda was to go after whoever was a black messiah. And we know messiah means savior. So whoever is a black savior was targeted by COINTELPRO. And that has not changed. I thank you for speaking up for Terry Young. I tell you, the more I talk to you, the more I admire him, because I didn't know he was a community activist. 9064, would you like to speak?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I'm one of those success stories that they speak of. I was friends with Terry ever since we were children. You know, I was the one who he told, you know, don't sign to big labels or, you know, as an artist, start your own label, control your own destiny. I was there. I witnessed what he did within the community with the with the mentoring and so forth with Major Adams Academy over there at the Boys Club and everything, and what he did with the Horner Association of Men, what he did with the redevelopment of Henry Horner Projects. You know, when they, and it's true, everything that Mary said is right on point. When they went after him with the money laundering charges, they went and seized legal money that he had achieved as, you know, from a five-phase redevelopment project with a joint venture with the Habitat Corporation. They went and took that money from him, which was legally his, and said it's money laundering under the RICO Act, and seized it, you know what I'm saying? And then they also, you know, they made it try and look like he was some type of kingpin, in which he couldn't have been a kingpin at the time because they'd already charged someone within that community as a kingpin over there. Not to mention the fact that, you know, there was an ongoing plot to make sure that they were going to guarantee they would be able to put him away for that length of time. And so that's why they concocted the stories that they concocted. That's why they went and took an expert witness, Michael Cronin, which we all know has lied on the stand and is not a credible witness. He lied on the stand and placed someone on a murder case at the scene of a murder, when this individual who he placed at the scene of a crime was actually incarcerated at the time when this murder happened. So, therefore, you know that there's some funny business going on when you start taking all of those facts and start adding them up. It sounds so much similar to so many others that we've heard about, such as the John Birch cases and others who have been had false confessions, beaten up out of them, you know, and everything. And not only did they attempt to do that, while Terry's been incarcerated and been a model prisoner for the past 17, going on 18 years now, they even tried to place him in a hostile environment to have harm done to him when they placed him out in Victorville in California. So there's a number of things that they've been doing, and they've been doing it systematically so that, you know, that we can't really, if we're not paying attention to it, we won't really notice it, but they planning our extermination quietly, and they're doing this strategically in order to make sure that whenever they, you know, it goes back to when we were freed as slaves. They had to come up with something in order to make sure that they could put us back in that situation. Their plan B for that, incarceration. Just like special education is another weapon that they use that ensures mass incarceration. Do you know that they make estimations about prison population according to the amount of young black youth as well as other people of color by placing the amount of children that's placed in special education and on medicine for such as ADHD medications and so forth? Those people are actually the people that they use in their statistical data in order to ensure population and prison growth.
Yes, sir. I did know about that, and it is absolutely sickening, and we're going to see about that, because I tell you something, they are through using the mentally ill to be their backbone of the prison investment system. That mess is stopping soon. My name is Mary Neal. I'm Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill, and I have told the Pharaohs years ago that they need to find a new cash cow because they are through using the mentally ill to line their pockets anyway. So I am aware of what you just said, sir, that they take statistics on who seems to show mental problems early, and they use those statistics to see how many prison cells to build. But, honey, that mess is about over. It's going to end around here soon. We already have on the books America's signature on the human rights treaties and what have you, and we are going to hold America to what they signed on paper. You know, Martin Luther King said years ago that there's a disconnect between what America says on paper and what it does. He said, all we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. And so when it comes to the mentally ill, you have rocked my boat. You rocked my boat because they arrested my brother, Larry Neal. He was a schizophrenic heart patient, and they kept him 18 days in Memphis Shelby County Jail, murdered him on the 18th day, and will not give us any paperwork or any information as to how they killed him, why they killed him, and why they arrested him. So I'm well familiar with the plight of the mentally ill, and I work on it every day. And I'm also become familiar, since I've been a prisoner activist, I've become familiar with people who are leaders in the community, like Terry Young. Terry Young sounds like he was a giant in the community. He was doing wonderful things for his community, and to pay him for helping people and not stepping on people, because, you know, we have some black leaders who they like to move up. We have some black leaders who they have no problem with them moving up because they are not sincere. But it sounds like to me Terry Young was sincere. He was a liberator for the cause. And so they decided, how are we going to get this black man? The thing is that by that expert witness that you told me about, by him being later found to be guilty of fingering a man who was in jail at the time, he got discredited from that. But that was after he had already lied on Terry Young. Is that so?
No, actually, this was around the same time, you know, but it happened at a little different time. It may have happened slightly afterwards, and what the end result was, this individual was freed from prison and he beat the case. But what they did was they did was struck it from the record. They didn't charge him with perjury on the stand, though. No.
So they didn't charge this man who lied and said this guy did it, and the guy was in prison at the time. They didn't charge this expert witness with lying?
No, because he's one of Daley's confidants. Matter of fact, even Daley, he was old man Daley's regime when he was in office, his father. And so therefore, he had such a reputation throughout political circles that no one bothered to go after him. So they let him go about his business and gave him carte blanche to do whatever he needed to do. They made him the commander of special operations, which we all know, if anybody's familiar with the special operations, it had been disbanded here in Chicago because of all the unjustifiable homicides that they were committing against young black males. You know, there's been countless lawsuits that have been settled by the city in reference to special ops, which he was in charge of at the time. So
is that
there's a long track record of the behavior of the Chicago Police Department, as well as persons of interest with respect to what they wanted to do, what they tried to do to Terry Young, what they succeeded in doing, and there's so many more. Like there's individuals right now that just were freed from prison for murders that they didn't even commit. That you know, it just so happens that the Innocence Project or Northwestern got involved in some of those matters and was able to help those individuals but everyone isn't that lucky to get that assistance from them. So, therefore, some of these things need to be brought to light, and that's why we bring in Terry's fight to light, you know, with the help of yourself as well as other individuals and bringing this forward and so forth, because the whole world needs to know what's going on. This is not just something that's isolated here in Chicago. This is something that's happening across this whole entire country. This whole thing about mass incarceration, this is these are human rights violations that we cannot sit by idly and accept and just keep on going about our daily business, because any one of us can be the next victim.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And do you know we're already out of time? Could y'all come back on Monday night for the Human Rights for Prisoners March at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time? That's midnight.
Yes.
If you can,
yes,
please
sir.
Do. I'll send you the information. I want all of you to come back. It's a totally separate audience. I want everybody to hear about Terry Young. Sign the petition, everybody. God bless you. Thank you for coming to Release the Innocent. Release the Innocent. That's our human rights demand. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.